Welcome to Fungeons and Flagons Season 3. Yes, the moderator is back. And we are live on Twitch for the very first time because a little thing called COVID happened. And even though I was looking for a studio and was about to lock one in to get Season 3 happening, shit hit the fan. So this is what we're doing now. Because I'm super new to Twitch, I started it 5 years ago and tried it once. But follows and subs are obviously very welcome. Feel free to chat with each other and those that are watching. We're not going to be reading out any of the chat except for DM pass holders when and if they activate their role, but more on that in a little bit. I do want to shout out our adventure and DM pass holders, because this year on Patreon, we actually added two very unique and exclusive tiers that are like Fungeons friendly, I guess you could say. There's the Adventurers Pass and then there is the DM Pass. The Adventurers have been assisting on ways to impact the story, and the DM Pass holders will help brainstorm each episode. They already know what's happening here. Both will find out announcements first, who will be the guest on the show. They found out about the cast members first, and they're going to get access to the after show. When we go offline, we're going to have a little wind down session, talk about what just happened. And that episode will only be available for Adventure Pass holders, which is $15 and higher. Everyone higher than that, you get access to it. The DM Pass holders, though, are getting something that we've never done before, and that is granting a re-roll. Will they use it to help or to hinder our players? They get to decide. To declare a reroll, if you are a DM pass holder and higher, simply just whisper via Twitch chat to @SpectrumGameMS. Caitlin, we love your handle. But Caitlin will ping me and let me know so we can stop the gameplay and activate that reroll. They have suggested that you have like a whisper ready to go with, I want to reroll, and then you can add in the person. So speaking of these DM pass holders, these are the people that have the rerolls, and I want to give them a shout out to Justin, Michelle, Herky, the Void Sorcerer, Mr. Pirate Dancer, Cordero, who is Zombie Squirrel, Isaac, G-Blink, 16 in the chat, Terry, Jimmy Sprinkles, Ask for Seconds, DKTE, Seb X, Katniss, Adam Tullos, DDK Joe, Terry, who's little weird guy in the comments, Alex, and of course, Caitlin, which is Spectrum Game Mess. Patreon.com Geekbomb, if you'd like to join in and support. If you can't catch this, I mean, watching it now live, but all the episodes will be available in full tomorrow evening on Geekbomb's YouTube. So give that a sub if you haven't yet, so you don't miss out. Also, I'm super stoked to announce that our resident artist, Terry, is back on. You can see my moderator art. Look how pretty not only she is, but Zelda, my little familiar. He is on Instagram at Terry Trin Art, TerryTrinArt. Someone can link that in the chat. He's done the brand new moderator art, and he's going to be designing all the characters for this season and doing recap art as well. We've got a Fungeons and Flagons subreddit. If you want to post any fan art or have conversations, you can head over there. We're about to hit 1,000, which is cool. But let's meet this season's cast members. We know one of them. He's been a very familiar face from last year, playing Samantha, who was the Air Genasi wizard, I believe. And also, you know him from DC Daily. He hosts El Rey Nation and Correcto Mundo on the El Rey Network. He hosts Nerds Book Club with me each week. He's on Hyper RPG with Hyper Heroes. He does a bunch. Please welcome Hector Navarro. And next we have a very dear friend of mine. Her name is Kate Welsh. She was the game designer at Wizards of the Coast, and she plays Rosie, which is a part of the C team with Acquisitions Incorporated. This is her first time playing alongside me. Guys, how are you?
Excellent.
I'm so excited.
Wow, cool. That sounds great. Hector, are you glad to be back?
Yes, and so unbelievably intimidated that we're playing with Kate. This is going to be so fantastic. I feel like I, for the first time in my life, I'm playing somebody who knows what this should be, who knows what it is. I just hope it doesn't deter Maud from doing what Maud's going to do.
Lower your expectations.
What I think is really interesting, Hector, is that you actually understand the premise and how to play with the Fungeons side of things. What Kate's going to have to learn to do is just throw away the rule book and you know, realize that most of the die in the die bag are not going to be used and it's fully improv. Oh, look at you. With, oh, he literally threw away the rule book. Okay. Wow. That was nice and dramatic. I love that. We've also got a guest, and for the first time ever, we will be having a rotating guest every single week. This week, we've announced him, the wonderful and legendary Troy Baker, who's likely voiced a character in one of your favorite games or series, The Last of Us, Shadow of War, and or Mordor, Bioshock Infinite, the list goes on. He's going to be involved as well, but we're going to bring him out a little bit later because you guys need to figure out what Fungions is, where you're going to be, and who you're going to be. That's the most important part. Alrighty, so what is Fungions? Well, it's influenced by D&D by placing characters in a fantasy world and having quests in combat, but it's absolutely not D&D, which has stats, rules, character sheets, predetermined abilities. This is purely an improv RPG game focusing on storytelling. Being the first episode, you'll be creating your characters and then I'm going to place you into the world. And guys, the rest is up to you. Feel free to ask questions about it, interact, explore. Also, write everything down. If you get an item, if you get an ability, if you get anything like that, character details, newly acquired things, maybe sometimes you'll get the next three roles will be something, write it down because me remembering it is not smart. The rules are simple. There are no rules really. It just depends on your role. You've all got a D20 with you. It's a 20-sided dice. So whenever you wish to do something, I will ask you to roll. If you get an 11 and higher, boom, it'll be successful. And the higher you roll, the more successful it will be. If you get a 10 or lower, you fail. And the lower you roll, the more unsuccessful and negative and awful it will be for you and your party. If you land a crit, which is a 20, obviously it'll be the best thing ever, and a 1 will be the biggest fail and something terrible will happen. In previous games, 1s and 20s have allowed another effect. We're just going to keep it narrative-based this year because there's going to be a little something else in this game, and that will be random surges, outbursts, if you will. More on that in a little bit, but what will happen is once one activates, you will need to roll, and above 10 will be positive, 10 and under will be negative, and the effects will take place immediately. If you're in combat, attack however you want, whatever your character would do with whatever weapons you have available. Be creative, get excited. But a lot of the time as well, the more outrageous the thing is, the higher I might make you roll. That 10 is a sliding scale. So if it's a standard attack, above a 10 will be fine, below a 10's a fail. If you want to run up a wall, triple plié, turn into water, and then explode into fireworks, you may have to roll an 18 or higher to get that happening. Alrighty, guys, let's put you in the world. Here is the prologue. Take note. Many years ago, a strange phenomenon happened. A random handful of beings in the land began experiencing strange magical outbursts, as if raw, untamed magic was trapped inside of them, and uncontrollable surges would unleash during times of heightened emotions. A high elf arcanist named Reedville had been traveling the lands gathering knowledge and findings about this strange magic and decided to start an academy that would help train and teach those who were touched by this magic to educate them in the ways so that they could understand and then control this raw energy. For those that did not learn to harness the magic, it would often hurt themselves or sometimes others, and it could result into death. This academy is hidden in a secret grove guarded by powerful illusions, and students are drawn to the location by the magic. Students of the Arcane Academy will undergo a series of trials, tasks, and teachings, and if they pass these challenges, they will become in charge of this magic once and for all. So you guys are about to become students of the Arcane Academy. Let's find out who you are. Hector, Kate, to find out what your race will be, can you please roll a d20?
First roll of the night.
First roll of the night.
10.
10?
7.
7? 7. Alrighty, Kate, you are choosing first. These are your race options. A human, standard. dwarf, if you want to go shorter, an elf of your choosing, half orc, a tiefling, a Leonin, think Thundercats, a Goliath, think Mordor, or a Genasi of your choosing. What would you like to be?
I am going to go with a Goliath.
You're going to be a big old mama?
Big old mother, mod size.
Crouching into doorways to enter the room, people gawking at you. Sounds like you're going to be a bit of a tank. Hector, I can read them again, but who would you like to be?
Actually, can you read them again? Because I heard Goliath and I was like, ooh, I'll do that. But then Kate picked it. So please read them again.
Human, dwarf, elf of your choosing, half orc, tiefling, Leonin, Genasi.
I was a Genasi last season.
You were a Genasi last season. You are an air Genasi.
What's the difference between a dwarf and a tiefling?
So a dwarf is a smaller statured kind of bearded mountain folk. A tiefling is kind of like a hybrid demon. So it's got big kind of like horns coming out of it. It's usually they delve in sort of like the dark magic, but they're kind of like an offspring of a demon.
I'll do that. I'll be a tiefling.
Tiefling. Fantastic. Alrighty. Now I need you to both roll again to determine your class.
Okay.
Hector, please look up tiefling.
12.
12?
I think I got a 16.
Alrighty, Kate, again with the higher roll.
Hector, what do you want to be so I don't choose it?
No, please. Goliath's first.
I don't know if a tiefling's going to be in the player's handbook, maybe. Just do a quick Google search.
Yeah, tieflings are in there.
Oh, they are? Mm. Kate would know. Kate would know. Oh my God, I just got intimidated.
See? Oh dear.
Oh dear. The types of classes, we are going super simplified with this. There is a choice of three and then we'll expand. There you go, Hector. Yeah. That's what you are now. Do you want to be a warrior type, a thief type, or a spellcaster?
I think I want to be a Goliath thief.
Goliath thief. Do you want to be a ranger or a rogue?
Let's be a rogue. I like the idea of trying to be sneaky by hiding in plain sight.
Okay, so a sneaky Goliath?
Yeah.
Are you more of an urban or a wilderness rogue?
I would say wilderness. So I'm thinking like pure Sasquatch here.
Uh-huh. Okay, all right. Sword or daggers?
Oh, daggers.
Uh-huh. Were you a thief or hired help?
Thief.
Alrighty, so you are chaotic. Thank you for answering those. Hector, would you, as a tiefling, want to be a warrior or a spellcaster?
That's a great question. I'll go... Man, that's so tough. Warrior or spellcaster? Let's go with warrior.
Are you a barbarian or a fighter?
Which is more like an Errol Flynn type? Like a fighter? Fighter, right?
Yeah, I think so. A barbarian. Yeah,
like a gentleman fighter, definitely.
Yes, debonair. Yeah, I'm a fighter.
Alrighty, are you more agile or are you strong?
Agile, agility.
Okay. Do you have a weapon and a shield? Do you have two weapons or just a single sword?
Just a single sword.
Okay. Do you want to have a crossbow as well?
No.
Okay.
No one has ever said no to that question in all of D&D history.
No, he doesn't want to do it. That is so fine. All righty. The next question I'm going to have, Kate, let's build out your character. What's your name?
Bromhild, the worthy.
Oh, I love it. Why are you worthy?
I think I gave myself that name in order to justify all my thievery.
Self-named. Okay. You were in the wilderness. Tell me about your home place. Why did you become a thief?
So, okay, as a Goliath, I was ostracized for my height. And I decided that in order to gain vengeance, I was going to steal things from everyone who was shorter than me. So I have, while I grew up sort of in a wilderness environment, I found my way to the city. I got caught because I'm enormous and I'm not tremendously sneaky, but I've made my way back to the wilderness and I've really practiced my skills since then.
Okay. How does a Goliath become stealthy, can I ask? Are you a chameleon?
Ooh, can I do that? Yeah, maybe I can. Okay, so maybe that's the power that I figured out I had, was that I can blend in much like a Sasquatch does in the woods, always running in that one.
Oh, you muted accidentally.
Yeah, that's how I found that I was able to kind of pose myself into different shapes to blend in perfectly with terrain.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm not sneaky. I'm definitely loud, but I can stand very still like Drax the Destroyer.
Tell me about your daggers. Where'd you get them?
I'll never tell. No, I stole them. The only reason I was able to get away with it is because I outran the person that I stole them from, but that person was very short and very cruel about my height.
Oh, got it. Do you have like a sensitivity towards bullies?
Yeah, I've been bullied a lot. I was born big. I live big. I'm going to die big. And people just don't get it. They don't appreciate the struggles that I have. The air is different up here. And so when they make that joke, it's just hurtful.
Thank you. So it sounds like your strengths are super adaptable to your terrain and surroundings. And so for someone who lives big and dies big, you are really subtle and sneaky. Right. What are your weaknesses? Your heart as well.
Yeah, I'm very sensitive to any cruel words. I also, let's see, I think one of my weaknesses is short door frames. I'm not tremendously, while I am very stealthy, I'm not tremendously observant. So I get like D4 damage on most doorways.
Oh, okay. Thank you for allowing me that. Let's also talk about the surges that happen from within when you explode out with this raw magic and random things happen to you. How does that make Bromhild feel?
When did it start? Here's my question.
It kind of started coming to fruition sort of like when you were hitting your adolescence, but probably because of your size, 5 years earlier for you.
Okay. And what kind of form do these take? Is it like a wild magic surge or what is it? Okay. So wild magic surge. Okay. So I think it was kind of like, I thought I was discovering a superpower because that's usually when they come into and for the longest time, I thought I was going to be able to enter a magic academy and start my life as a wizard. Maybe it was something that I was really excited about because I thought, you know, maybe if I make wizard school, then I can learn illusory magic and then I can make myself look a little shorter so everybody's not making fun of me all the time. But it turns out that I couldn't actually control these things and I just had to continue down my life of crime.
Okay. Liking that one. It sounds like you are going to be the biggest target at a school. So what are your biggest and strongest emotions then? I'm pretty sure it's safe to say that you can get really sad and hurt.
I definitely can get my feelings hurt. I react very negatively when anybody says anything mean to me. I will just pick out the whatever stupid thing I can see about them and try to be really mean about it. But it's just a defense mechanism. When you get to know me, I've got a heart of gold.
I love it. Bromhild the Worthy. If that is not a projection of insecurity, I don't know what is. Hector, you are a tiefling fighter with a sword.
Yes.
Where did you grow up and how did you learn to become a fighter? Why did you want to become a fighter?
Ah, yes. I grew up in a place that is not very welcoming to tieflings. So I have been on my own for many, many years, and it has been very hard for me. But, you know, I have somehow been magically drawn to this school. So I'm very excited to meet other students and to see what is going on in here in the woods with the magic.
Would you say so many friends?
Say that again?
Did you say you have many friends?
No, I oftentimes make friends with the children because they are less sort of close-minded. But then as soon as their parents find out that they have made friends with me and I look the way that I look, well, then forget about it, Buster. Get out of town because they're coming for you. They're going to try to chase you down, try to get you with pitchforks and fire. It's a very bad situation. So I got out of there.
What's your name?
My name, well, I'll be honest, I didn't like my given name. You know, parents, they named me, I'd rather not say, they named me Kurt. I didn't like that. I said, you know what, that is not indicative of who I am as a person. So I said, I will reject that name. Obviously, the village here does not love me. And let's be real, I got to a point where my own mother and father, they said, we cannot have you as a demon child. So I heard it. I overheard it and decided to strike out on my own as a very young boy, and I have been on my own ever since. But thankfully, I have had some magic to sort of keep me company. But since then, I have taken a new name.
What do you call yourself?
I'm sort of workshopping it. I'm a little nervous about it. It's. I don't know how if it's going to sort of, you know, really catch on with other students or anything. But I have decided to name myself Elaine. Elaine is my name. Yes.
Elaine is my name. Would you say that is spelled A-L-A-Y-N-E?
A-L-A-I-N. It's very close.
My bad.
Yes.
So it sounds like you have been outcast for being a freak. Were your parents not tieflings? Were you born through like a curse?
I have a suspicion that my mother or father was tieflings. They had some in them, but they were able to sort of pass as not tiefling. And then I was born, and then boom, horns, boom, pointy ears, boom, yellow eyes that glow. So they said, this is maybe too difficult to deal with because they have not had to endure with that in their lifetime. But I'll also be honest as well, that is just maybe some insecurities I have with my own parents. They may have been regular people and I may have been the result of a curse. I do not know.
But you left before you could find out.
Yes, I left at 7 years old. That's sad. That's so sad.
That's sad.
I was seven.
So this is before you even realized you had these magic surges, outbursts. What happened when you were on your own and you discovered that magic would unwillingly erupt out of you?
Let me tell you, Maud, it was a good and scary day. It was like when on top of puberty, which is like, try to figure that out on your own with no parents. On top of that, strange things was happening. And I thought, is this the same as puberty? Is this because I have hair in new places? Turns out, no, it's magic.
What's the worst thing that's happened with a magic surge so far? Anything can happen.
This is very personal, but I was talking to a girl and everything was going okay. She said, you look cute. You're different. You're kind of fuzzy. This is nice. And I said, I know, you're so pretty. This is cool. And then I closed my eyes and I opened them and I was 10 miles away.
Oh no, not the random teleporting when you're trying to flirt.
Exactly right, Maud.
Yep. What color are you, Elaine? What color are you?
I think you know, Maud. I think you know what color I am.
You're right. It would be a deep maroon.
Blue, that's right. Blue. I am the color blue.
Blue.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said. Blue. Yes. Maroon. Yes. Okay. Yep. Well, obviously you've been traveling around by yourself. You haven't really found many friends, which has been really heartbreaking. But the good news is you had the pull of your magic that took you to the academy, which is where you now are. Hold on. What emotions are you quite sensitive to? Do you find you become angry a lot? Are you a serial flirter and that's why you had your 10-mile teleport surge?
Serial flirter, Maud, you embarrass me. Yes, I am a serial flirter, as well as I don't tend to get mad very often, but I get very, some would say self-righteous. I get very concerned about justice and unfairness and inequality. Mm-hmm. So that is the emotions that I tend to tap into. When I see something unfair happen, I think to myself, hey, somebody should really do something about that. That's not cool.
All right. So that's a shame that you couldn't be Kurt the Flirter, but I'll move on. Alrighty, so you are students at this school. So let's get you into the school. You are both standing in the grand atrium of the Arcane Academy. Looking around, you see floor-to-ceiling shelves of books and scrolls. This is easily the biggest library of scripture you have ever seen. In between the rows of shelves are giant stone columns and statues. There is a grandness about this place. There are wooden beams that actually come out of the wall and turn into branches that create cases of stairs leading further and higher up into the tower. Now, this place pulses with magic. You look around and you notice the other students in the room. They appear to be an array of different ages and races, some wearing impressive garments, others in tatters. Some are eagerly hanging on to every word that the headmaster looks to start saying. Others look petrified. One of them even seems bored. Another is staring directly at you, Bromhild.
I'm going to do a voice now. I'm used to it. It's something that happens to me a lot. I just assume that it's because I'm, Goliath stuff, so.
And then another student standing next to you both. He appears, I will say. He comes into the frame, one might even say. And we're going to find out who the truck this student is. So, he who was previously named Troy, what's your name? You're muted. It is nothing. He is a mute. What's your name?
Voldred.
Goldred?
Voldred. V-U-L-D-R-E-D.
What is your race and your class?
I'm an elf.
Oh, what kind of elf? A high elf, a wood elf, a drow?
No, high elf.
What's your class?
Are you going to give choices, or can it be anything that I want to be?
Anything you want to be.
Cleric.
Oh, I love it. What is your fighting style, and what is your weapon of choice?
Reckless.
I love it.
And a long sword.
Long sword. Are you good with healing as well, being the cleric?
Quite.
And I bet you love telling everyone about it too.
Indeed.
What is your personality like?
Simple, soft-spoken, direct.
Why was it so important for you to come to the academy?
This is where all the best magic is performed, and those who can control it come. I'm a bit more advanced than the others, but I try not to show it or bring it up, but we'll know.
What's your goal then, to obviously advance yourself in the ways of the magic?
Simply to do the same thing that my father did and his father before him, be the best.
Oh, this is not a choice for you.
Everything is a choice, but some bricks in the path are better laid than others.
Tell me about your father. How does he make you feel?
He's not around.
Why not?
It's a mystery, isn't it? I don't really like to talk about my family as much. It's more important to talk about me. I'm the one standing in front of you.
That's true.
Father won't be around, don't worry.
Tell me about a really good or a really bad experience you had with one of your magical outbursts.
Oh, good and bad is such a matter of perspective, isn't it? I'll tell you something good. There are people beneath me, and when they challenge me, they don't do so for long. My power came to me very early. I was 300, 400, maybe, I can't remember, it was so long ago. But my powers manifested themselves quite early and quite powerfully, if I may be somewhat redundant. So some people who would come to me and challenge me, and as is oft is happened with other elves, a demonstration of your power is required. I simply have to look at them and I can banish them to oblivion.
That sounds very deadly and like no one would want to cross you. Thank you so much for sharing that. Tell me what you look like. What are you wearing?
No. Long silver hair. The finest of garments, of course. Purple eyes.
What's your weapon of choice again? Just a long sword.
Long sword. Belonged to my father.
So Voldred, obviously looking at you, Bromhild, not Kurt, Elaine. How do you handle this? How do you handle Voldred's very determined stare?
I anticipate that Voldred is going to say something about my height. So I actually straighten up a little self-consciously. What brings you here?
What brings me here is none of your concern. Genetics mainly and privilege. However, you, who are you and why are you here?
I'm Brumhild the Worthy. Thank you.
I'll be the judge of who's worthy and who's not. I'm here to be your friend, Brumhild. Did you know that there was a standard for those who need to be here, those who are allowed to walk past its threshold, or did no one tell you?
Oh, no, no one told me that, actually. Oh, they let me in. They just let me in. They didn't check to see my identification, no tests, just walked right in. But it seems like they like me.
Yeah, perhaps they thought you were part of the custodial staff. Listen, I'm going to do you a favor. You know the door that you walked through? Perhaps you should walk back out.
Well, I would. But last time I came in, I hit my head right on it. I don't want to go back out.
And
I'm
you,
staying here.
Bluish one, are you her friend?
Yeah.
I don't know that. No, I'm not your father. I asked you a question. Are you her friend?
Oh, you misunderstood me. Da is how I say ya or yes.
Do, is that how you say no as well?
Nine.
Brilliant. Listen, my friend who is treading very dangerously on copyright infringement, I shall give you the same advice that I gave her. This academy is only for the elite, for those who are worthy, and her name notwithstanding, I would wager to say that you are not.
Brumhild the Worthy.
Yeah, we got it the first time, dear. However, you... Kurt, is it?
No, I don't know why people just assume that it's my name. It is Elaine.
Ah, Elaine, yes, of the Cummings. I wonder, perhaps, if you are one who loves the night and goes crawling about. I'm going to give you the same advice that I offered your friend, the very large and very dim Brumhild.
Thank you.
Right. Let this be your warning. This academy does not suffer fools, nor do we suffer ingrates, nor do we suffer those who can't, I'll put it as simply as I can, keep up.
Well, who do you suffer then?
No, we don't. It's not who we... You don't suffer anyone. You don't... You just... It's the phrase. You don't suffer fools.
And with that, this headmaster, who looks so old and kindly, whose face is glowing and beaming at the thought and sound of being with you guys, who's dressed in these red, lavish, like velvet garments that he's just eagerly looking out. And he says, "Hello, new students at the Arcane Academy. I'm Headmaster Reedville, esteemed academic and founder of this school. Oh, how lucky you are to be blessed by the great magic living within you. Some of you have traveled great distances to be here," and goes, you know, looks towards Elaine there. "Others not so much," and points to Voldred. "But I do appreciate the fact that this magic has led you to be here today.
I very much appreciate you being willing to bear the sigil of the Academy on your skin. Yes, as you can see, the mark inside of your wrist right there acts as a key into this Academy. It is the crest of the school as well. And it means that those who do not bear this crest on their skin, they cannot gain entry to the building. It also means that I'm able to tell where you are and if you're in danger. For the next few moons, I will be assigning you a series of tasks to see how equipped you are to deal with this raw magic that you house inside of you. Over time, you'll learn to grow and be good enough to be able to understand this magic and thus be able to control it. Those who are weak, reckless, unwilling to learn, or refuse to partake in these studies, they will have their magic removed from within them and they'll be set on their way. Those that pass the final challenge, though, will graduate from the Arcane Academy with a new power and purpose. And with this, you look around and you see the other students sort of nodding along again with different emotions. You make eye contact with one another. And Headmaster Reedville eagerly says, "Ah, yes, yes, I'm sure you'd like to meet your fellow students. You three there," noticing that you, Broom or Bromhild, I feel a bit may have changed already, not Kurt, Elaine and Voldred, kind of motions to you three while putting everyone in groups of three. Yes, you there. You'll be together for the first task. Head just to that area in the corner there. Make your introductions if you haven't already. Whilst this is happening, we'll have your belongings taking up to the sleeping quarters. So off you go. Say hello. Have you met each other? You three look like you don't want to keep talking.
I believe a mistake has been made. I don't belong with them.
Every single task will use different groupings. This will be the first one. Honestly, you'll be fast friends by the end of all of this, I promise you. Did you just want to get stuck into it then?
Yeah.
All righty. Well, usually people are a little bit more excited to do this, but your first series of tasks, this will be a bit of a getting to know you. And I just have some questions. Everyone will do it in turn, but you three, let's go first. Let's go over to this quiet space. All righty, so just answer however you want to, but answer honestly. The first question is, would you help a stranger?
Yeah, no question.
I have a lot of questions.
Yes, what are they, Broomhild?
One, does a stranger have a lot of money?
They could, and it depends on whether you would want to help them for money or a gift or glory or for nothing at all.
Oh, I would take either money, gift, or glory, not the nothing.
Mm-hmm. Elaine, does that change your answer?
No, I'm not a huge fan of the wording of do it for nothing, but I consider it sort of, you know, a basic decency thing. So I would help a person if they needed help, is my answer, I guess. I don't know.
Voldred?
If I were the person who needed help and the help was to be out of this group, would you, if I give you a sum of money, would that be enough to just... I'm stuck here, yes.
How much you got over there, Voldred? Maybe I could help.
No, that's not the point. I would say, if it benefits me, I would always help someone.
Would you die for a stranger?
Me?
Any of you?
If there was enough of a reason for me to give my life to help somebody who, although they are a stranger, I could somehow determine that they were worthy of living, then yes, I would. Yes. Duh.
Baldred?
A noble sentiment, but no. I'm afraid I would never be in that situation.
And Bromhild?
I'm going to a hard pass on that one for me, no.
So I guess the next question is only for you, Elaine, and that is, would you die for a stranger if no one was to ever know about it?
Yes, But I would know about it, correct? This isn't like a magical, somebody presses a lever and I die so someone can live situation. It's like I am the one who's making the choice, yes? Then yes, I would. I don't care about the glory as long as I felt like as I'm dying, oh, but I helped that person. Okay, then I can go. Then yes, I would be okay with that, yes.
Very interesting. Thank you for sharing. If you hear a wild animal at night, what would you want it to not be? And how would you face it? I'll start with you, Bromhild.
All animals are smaller than me, so I can step on their heads, or I could tear them in half, or I could hide from them. I suppose any animal that can smell me when I'm camouflaged, I don't think I could deal with that one. So any animal with like a snout, no snout, please.
Okay, so let's say that you hear a, how would you take care of it?
I'd run. I would run in the opposite direction. Like if I heard that sound, I would pinpoint where it came from, and then I would run the other way.
Interesting. What about you, Voldred? What animal would you not want to hear at night?
Not poisonous. That's all I really. I just don't. Birds, sure, fine, whatever, deer, unicorns, the normal things, however. Anything poisonous.
How would you face one if a poisonous snake was to come up to you? What would you do?
My sword is quite handy.
Very good. Elaine, same question.
I have a sword too. It's cool to have a sword. I found it and it's pretty good. I'll be honest, I can kind of, because of my nature, I can sort of get along with most beasts. I'm particularly fond of wolverines. They're funny. But I would say I'm not a big fan of like a toad, like a big toad. If this was a huge mutant toad, I'd say, no, thank you, lady. I'm out of here.
I do not like toads. Well, very interesting to learn about who you are. The next is a test of constitution. In front of you is a small, teeny glass vial, shot glass even, full of a potent substance in a spirit nature. I wish for you to consume it without any evidence of it impacting you. Voldred, knowing your story, please go first.
All of it.
Bottoms up, as they would say. Just don't show me your bottom. So stern, zero movement. Very impressive. Bromhild, you are up.
And you're not going to tell me what it is?
I am not. Down again. Oh, that was a wince. Oh, it was.
Oh. Oh. Oh, I'm full of regret and whatever that was.
It was not handled smoothly at all, one might say. Elaine, it is your turn. Good luck.
This is crazy. I've never done anything like this in front of other people.
Who's going to hold his horns later?
It burns. It burns on the way down. It feels good to burn.
Very interesting and very telling. Very new to adventure. Others seem very well versed in it. Okay, we'll move on to the next challenge. Alrighty, we actually, because we have not had students in the building for some time, we have a bit of a rat problem. The issue is they've been getting into our food stores and they're eating the precious scrolls. This room through here, we have seen six in there. They need to be taken care of. And my question for you would be, what weapon or item would you wish to use to get rid of them? What would you like?
Are they poisonous rats? Just to clarify.
Do not believe they are poison.
Fantastic. I'm just wanted to, for no, just making sure they're not, because there are poison rats, you know, and they're...
Oh, these are not of
I
that.
Don't, yeah. I'm not afraid of them. I just wanted to know.
You've given me an idea there, handsome elf. What about rat poison?
Rat poison would be very effective to get rid
that's
of.
That's what I thought too. I thought Dude. The exact same thing.
Good, Bromhild. That was really well done.
Is that what we just drank? Just again, I know. I feel like we keep coming back to the poison.
I'm sensing a paranoia. If I told you you drank rat poison,
awareness.
You have to throw it up.
No. It's just a just dotting the T's and crossing the I's and whatnot.
Well, that seems like the not rat poison is taking effect then. Elaine, what would you like to get rid of the rats? What item, weapon of choosing?
I would like to choose my sword, please. But I'm also curious about, did we drink rat poison? I think the handsome elf made a good point. I don't know
Absolutely if that's... not. It was just to see your constitution, just how well you can weather the storm in a liquid sense. You do not have your weapons on you. They were taken up. Your possessions were all taken from you. So you have nothing. But if you were to use something, what would you like?
Sword.
Okay. You like your sword. I understand that. That is.
I also would like to use not Kurt's sword as well, not mine. But we don't have our weapons. So, do we have any... what was left with us as we walked through? Are there the other materials?
Have been handled. The belongings have been put into your sleeping quarters. But for now, I'm just wishing to see how you would handle the problem.
Looking around the room...
You're not in the room yet. This is actually the first part of the test.
So, but looking around where we are, is there anything, do we
see? Oh, I would give you anything of your asking.
You would give us anything of our asking?
I'm just wondering what it is that you would use to take care of the problem.
The giant had a very good idea with rat poison. That seems to be the most Occam's razor, simplest direct solution.
So you would all kill innocent creatures just because they're not where they should be. Interesting, interesting. You are not going to get rat poison or weapons. In fact, you will go into the room and just take care of the 6 rats any way you wish, but you will not have weapons with you. So go on in, 6 rats, you can do it. Off you go. Let me know when it's taken care of.
What was the question?
I do want to point out, you said it was a rat problem, so you actually framed it.
The problem is they're eating the scrolls. My precious scrolls. Good luck. Let me know when you're done. And with that, he puts you into the room and shuts the door, and you look in and you can hear kind of like the scritching of rats, and you can hear the tickling. But what would you guys like to do?
Run.
Probably the one thing you cannot do.
I am not a... not a vermin person, not really a somebody talked
in front of you, and you can, you know, find.
Yes, someone. I'm going to not hide, but place myself protectively behind Bromhild.
Okay,
I've got you, little friend. Don't worry about this.
Please don't, just do don't touch my hair.
Are you all familiar with when a group of rats get stuck together with the tail? And then they become something called a rat king because they're sort of fused, and then it fuses together, and then they are stuck this way, and it becomes this horrific little creature that has to then scavenge together and work together. Otherwise, one piece of it will die. Anyway, that would be so crazy if that's what's happened in this room.
And what happened? They are individual, but like, who wants to look around? How are you going to handle this?
Yeah, what else do we see in this room besides rats, scrolls, and food bags?
Yes, there are bags and burlap sacks that are kind of stacked across sort of like where a cupboard with grainy foods were. You also see empty crates lying about. The scrolls that some of them have kind of like been eating that are beyond damage, so they've left them in there for them. Old bottles with liquid in it. So that's kind of what's around the room.
What kind of liquid are we talking here?
Do you want to go over and thunk?
Yeah, exactly. With my teeth, and then take a big old whiff of it.
It smells like a nice, deep, dark red wine.
I think we've got a vintage over here. I'm just using a word that I heard once. I think we've got a vintage. We've got some crates. We've got bags. I say we've stuffed the rats in the bags. Call it a day. Drink some of this vintage.
You want to take a swig?
Yeah, you know what? I should taste test it just in case. Yeah.
Roll me a D20.
A three.
So you're not used to wine. It goes straight to your head, and you are big, and usually it takes a lot for you to feel any kind of tipsy if you ever have before. But this one makes your muscles feel loose and your blood feel warm and you feel good.
Who cares about the rats? Why don't we all just stay here, have fun? Elaine, can you play a song? Oh, Elf, you got nice dancing legs.
With this, you see that one of the rats, because they're kind of scurrying in and around, but one of them is about six times the size of the other rats. It's considerably bigger. You also notice it's kind of like makeshifted, like out of a twine or something like that, a crown.
Come on.
And it's the rat king.
Come on.
Oh, your highness. I'm so sorry. Was that your wine?
He's a rat.
It stares at Brumhild. It's just like.
I've heard about this. I heard that they cannot be reasoned with. This is a king. It is very arrogant. I'm sorry, Brumhild. You are in deep, deep trouble.
Well, I start to try to camouflage myself into a pile of bags.
What? Roll for me.
That is so cool. I could do that. That's cool.
11.
Yeah, you start turning this kind of like Hessian-y color, but the problem is it's just you. You are all the color of Hessian, but only the bags are at your feet. But you
successfully. It's doing it.
Elaine, we will chat more and more about what your strength is as well. When you find out where your hidden ability could be, you let me know. How are you going to take care of it? Because the clock is ticking.
Vuldred, we have to work together. Can you believe this? You, a very fancy elf, me, a poor something. We have to work together.
First of all, I, being a cleric and a healer, I would think that I have the ability to bring our drunken friend around. Yes?
Yes, yes.
I'm over here. I'm like, I could be a court jester in the king court.
Oh, no.
If she's what I need her to do is to be at her best.
They're in stage two negotiation with the king. This is not good. Hurry! Do what you can, Vuldred.
So I would be trying to heal her to make her not drunk.
And while you do that, I will take a crate, an empty crate, and prop it up with a scroll as some sort of a trap for the rats.
The rat is huge.
Both roll for me, Vuldred, to see if you can heal and make poor Brumhild undrunk. And
15.
Oh, there you go. She's feeling sadly back to her normal self. And Elaine, that is an 11.
11.
You successfully prop up with a scroll bait with one of the big crates.
But like Aldred pointed out, it's a normal size crate, and this is a six times larger than normal rat.
It is a rodent of unusual size.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. R-O-U-S-S's.
Hmm. I don't think they exist.
I don't think they exist.
Oh, we've seen the same movie. All right, well, you have an effective trap right there. Brumhild is now sober. What would you like to do? Because the headmaster, Reedville, is... Oh, that took a while.
Listen, do you speak common, Rat King?
He just stares at you.
All right, negotiations have broken down. I've got something to show you, though. It's over here.
It nods at you.
I wonder if you come look at this. I'm pointing toward the trap.
It follows you.
Excellent. Come here. I think you're really going to like what I've got for you.
It looks excited.
All right, just around this corner, then.
It sees the scroll. It looks at you like, all right.
And it's then, all yours.
And it walks into the under the crate and starts having a little nibble.
A- And
I mean, if you rolled an 11, did you set the trap or did you just make it? Because all you said that was you wanted to use the crate in a trap, but did you set it?
I said it.
Roll.
19, baby.
And boom! Ooh. Trap slams down. Somehow this average-sized crate has contained an extraordinarily large-sized rat. And with that, all the other rats kind of come out from where they're hiding and they are around the crate trying to rescue and save its king. What would you like to do?
Oh, I have an idea. This reminded me of one time when I was on my journeys. I saw a very hungry, hippo. And what he did is he was able to bite the food he needed to. It's sort of on a level playing field. I will ask this wonderful Goliath, Brumhild, can you just carefully lift the trap and then catch those other rats and then get them?
Roll for me and a +2 if you make the nom nom sounds.
I got a 9 and I will make the nom nom sounds if that bumps me into success.
And show me how will that go?
So in this analogy, I am hungry hippo.
Yes.
Did you just go Russian?
I did. My accent's all over the place. I need to write a note down to tell me what accent I should be doing.
I make for this the sound of nom nom.
I'll take a crate. I'll go gnome. Nom.
All right, that's an 11. That's a pass. You nom up the rats. They are all hidden under the crate. But I mean, if you lift up the crate, they all come out. So what would you want to do now that they're under the crate?
A big slide crate out of door.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You slide it.
I slide it until Reedville notices it.
All right. And he does. And he goes, very good. Very good. You captured all the rats and you didn't kill them. And then
yes.
He just, and they obliterate.
It was a very difficult task, but I had to do what I had to do. I took charge immediately. I hate rats, but I was happy to dispose of your problem.
He was excellent in there. He did a really good job.
Brimhild, you're a terrible liar. And Voldred, I saw the whole thing. Very interesting. But at least you passed the test and they won't be taking advantage of me anymore with my scrolls. And they are not welcome here. And I really took care of the problem, but there we go. Aren't you good not killing them? It says a lot about you. And the next test will as well. Come into this room. And you enter the next room, and there is a wall in front of you with a door. Just one single door. Now, that door is locked. I want to know what you will do to get into the room behind it. What will you do?
But not to. Dolls and I do not get along.
Brumhild will be sitting this one out. Elaine, how will you get into a locked, past the locked door into the room?
That is very simple. I would ask for a key. Can I have a key, please?
That's very interesting. That is a good possibility. Voldred, what would you do?
I would take the key from not Kurt.
That checks out.
Elaine, yes.
Yes.
I would let give him the key and then I will take the key from him.
Let's say there isn't a key and someone didn't do the task for you again.
Has anyone tried the door? Just to maybe give it a jiggle, find out if it, you know, just opens on its own.
Go on, try it.
I would jiggle the handle.
You thought I a liar, did you?
No. Just maybe you thought it was locked. It's actually stuck because there is an old door and you need to just give it a bit of a nudge.
If you ask, you shall receive. There you go.
And he hands the key to Elaine because he asked for a key.
Yeah, it's what I was just trying to make sure. Go on then.
And then I suppose I should hand this off to Voldred because he said he would take the key. So then he.
That is your choice, yes. If you want to do that or not.
I will take this key and I will make sure that it does only what it's supposed to do. I would put the key into the door and I would unlock the door and I would allow my new friend, Elaine, to go first.
Danke. Mm-hmm.
So Elaine enters this room, and in front of you sit three large chests, but they look incredibly different in nature. One of them is super ornate with rippling kind of like threaded lines that are sketched through it. And it's a very faded, dulled silver. The chest in the middle is a large golden chest with lion's paws for feet resting on underneath it. And the last one is made of crystal, what it looks like, but it's very opaque. You cannot see in it. The edges look awfully sharp. Inside the chests in front of you are the weapons that I have specially made, designed, and will allocate you for your studies at the Arcane Academy. Wow. You, Bromhild, two very beautifully done bronzed daggers that are larger in size for your large hands. And they too will change the shape and the color that you do. Elaine, for you, it is a beautiful, rippling gold sword with horns that look like yours on the sides for you to grasp and to use. And for you, Voldred, another very spindly, thin, but incredibly sharp sword.
Yes, it's small, but it's effective.
Very effective. And with runes cast down the side of the blade, with big emerald gems encrusted over the hilt. But which chest does your weapon hold? You have to decide which chest you believe your weapon to be in.
Ah, yes. I have to believe.
I recall it's a second, or rather, I'm looking at it. The second chest, the one in the middle, was gold. So I feel as though my weapon, which was a gold sword with little horns, may reside in that one. Do you have any other thoughts, you two?
I think that's very solid.
I wasn't paying attention.
Right, okay. That makes sense. Well, I guess...
about the middle chest. He believes that his weapon will be in there. Do you agree, disagree? Which was your chest? Which is resonating? Which is singing out to you?
So it was one. The one on the right is made of crystal. It's opaque, and the edges are very sharp. The one on the left had something to do with lines. I can't recall exactly, but there was lines.
Carved in it, and it's very ornate, but it's made of a faded, dulled silver.
Well, Handsome Elf is very sharp and very opaque. Perhaps your weapon is in that one.
Mm-hmm. Say words that I listen to with my ears. And I was just recalling the notes that I took mentally to see there was something about someone being sharp.
Yes. Aldred, you are the master of the obvious. You really are the best at that, I think. You're great.
Thank you, copyright infringement. I appreciate that.
Well, it's kind of adjacent. You know.
But that leaves the silver one for me.
Yes, the one that was dull. And I honestly cannot think of a connection between that and you. But I think, you know what? Let's go for it. Process of elimination. It's probably...
That one scans for sure. Dull. And I will... wait to see what happens with you.
So you've allocated the chests. You guys feel good about it all. One more time, Elaine, you feel like yours is the large golden chest?
Yes, nicest one. That's.
Do you want to go and open the chest that you believe is yours?
I want to leave it up to my new best friends in the whole world. Bromhild, do you want to go first? Do you want me to do it? Oh, I'll take one for the team.
Go get it. You deserve it.
Okay, here we go. Opening the chest. Na 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 na.
Thanks. Inside, you see a beautiful golden sword with horns that wrap around the side, and it sings shwing when you pick it up, and it is so perfectly balanced to your hand, and it feels like it was made for you. Congratulations, Elaine. You have chosen the correct one. Large and golden, like you, and your history and your journey. The path you walk is golden. Now, who would like to go next?
Yes, I believe.
I will.
The large one.
I will. Mm. I walk up to this chest, kind of puff it up. It's not the biggest chest, and it's not the nicest chest, but it's my chest, and I'm going to open it, Mr. Reedville.
So you open the chest, and inside you see a large but delicate sword, silver in design, with runes running down the shaft, with gold, with bright emerald encrusted crystals and gems all over the hilt. You have picked the wrong chest.
This is, I was actually going to steal this once I had a chance, so I feel like I've just skipped to that step.
Baldred, it is your turn if you wish to open the last remaining chest.
Well, I feel she's got my sword. I don't...
You just want to take your sword, then?
Kind of just want... If I'd open hers, will I also get her? Because like, you said this, the sword was mine, but it was a challenge. So would I also get what's in the other one? It's like a constellation, like, oh, no, you don't get anything.
It's up to you. Knowing you do not have your sword, but Voldred's, do you wish to give Voldred his actual sword and for you to open the last remaining chest?
I mean, it was made for him. I don't much like swords. I am going to try to steal it from you later.
Yeah.
For now, I'd like to get my weapon.
All right. Sure.
Go on then. Give me the sword. Give us the sword then.
All right. Thanks. I'll get it. I'm narrating as I get the sword out. I hold it. I hand it to Handsome Elf.
I take it from the very large, pawish hands that she has.
And then
perfectly held in my hand.
What you didn't think about was that even though Bromhild is the biggest and by far the strongest of the three, she can also be the most fragile, hence being made of crystal.
That's my dark secret. Don't tell them.
Do you want to open up the last chest?
Yes.
Oh, Voldred, do you want to open up your chest? Oh, no, sorry. Voldred, do you want to hold your sword?
Bromhild. I'm just going to be here with my sword. That seems to be... It's long, but it's spindly.
I stand in front of this chest and I go, I said the same thing. It's not the biggest chest, it's not the fanciest chest, but it is my chest. Open up. Ba-da-da-da.
And there you have these gorgeous bronze daggers that are almost small, short swords. They're so big in nature. It's a dulled bronze as well, but it definitely suits you, and you are able to change the size, shape, and color of those daggers should you wish. But they feel like they're just light as feathers, but they're sharp as, well, they're sharper than you are. But there you go. So you now have all your weapons. And Headmaster Reedville is there, go, congratulations, you have finished and completed your task. I have definitely learned a lot about each and every one of you.
Yes.
One of you was more brave, adventurous.
Thank you.
Showed leadership qualities.
Yes.
Another one, scared of unusual things that I wouldn't actually feel would be scared. Look, to progress through, you'll need rest because there will be tasks ahead of you. Voldred, if you will, come see me in my office after this. Thank you so much. I wish you the best. Congratulations. The next task will be all mountains and mount games. So wish you the best for that one. Congratulations and get a good night's sleep. And with that, he leaves, and Voldred leaves after the Headmaster Reedville. And you can hear a stern conversation. You can hear noises like this coming from the office. You can hear noises like this coming from the office. And then he doesn't come up into the sleeping quarters. Baldred didn't pass the test. And as you'll discover, the recklessness, the lack of teamwork, and the betterment he felt was not suitable for the school. And with that, Headmaster Reedville, with a bright shock of lightning that lines the doorway, removes the magic from Voldred, never to be seen again. And that concludes episode one of Fungeons and Flagons, season three. Troy, thank you so much for joining us with Voldred, who has the velvetest, sweetest voice I've ever heard.
What a dick. What a dick.
Elaine and Bromhild, you are in your sleeping quarters and you rest until your next task is carried out for you, and you'll meet new students at the Arcane Academy. We will be wrapping things up here, but we will have an after show where we will learn about Troy's decisions with Voldred and where that voice came from and the backstory. But I just wanted to shout out to Sirenscape. If you were listening to cool ambient music, it was because of them. Use it at your table if you want. You can head to sirenscape.com to find out more about that. If you feel like supporting the show, head to patreon.com/geekbomb. No one had a magical outburst because everyone was very calm in that particular episode, which was very interesting. You didn't feel the pressures super much. Guys, Kate, Hector, Troy, where can people find you online if people want to learn more? Troy, we'll start with you.
You can find me on the Twitters at TroyBakerVA, on Instagram, official Troy Baker, and then in 60% of the video games that are out.
That's true. Hector?
It's not a brag, it's real, 60%. Twitter and Instagram at Hector is funny.
Oh.
And Kate?
You can find me on Instagram at Kate Well Cha 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 Cha, four H's. And I think I'm in like 0.08 of the video games that exist.
Ah. So that's
pretty good. That is a statistic that is true. Full episodes are going to be uploaded to youtube.com/geekbomb around this time tomorrow. The after show will be happening right now. Again, this is only for Adventure Pass holders and higher. And thank you if you did sub or and follow during the show. I wasn't privy to that because I have a lot of other things in front of me, but I will go back and check them all. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart. As well, if you do have any fan art, because we have to make our characters now, follow the subreddit for those and I will send them to you guys and hopefully they look spectacular. But thank you so much for joining us. Fungeons and Flagons is back, baby, with the moderator, and we'll catch you 6 p.m. Pacific time next Monday. That is our adventure. Farewell.
Make a weird face with my hands.